Hi. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Wednesday, August 28th, 1996. In the fireside room this morning, our speaker is John Bucca. Today he will be continuing his series on the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment, the gift of life. Let's listen in.
Let me read this for our opening devotions. This is a paraphrase of a man named Thomas. My name is Thomas. Some people call me the twin. I saw Jesus throw money changers from the temple. I was there when he healed the man who was paralyzed. I was with him when we celebrated the Last Supper. I ran away the night he was crucified. I doubted that he had been raised, and yet he has given me life. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Many remember me because of my doubt. I insisted on seeing before I believed. Yet I am not unusual. Many people do not realize that in believing there is seeing. My prayer is that you who were not witnesses may believe that he is the Christ, God's only Son, and that you might have life in his name. Those of you who have been here through the week may want to know where the Bible is in any kind of catechism course, at least that I teach. In New Hope, Minnesota, we have a 3-year program, and that's not to say that it's the right way or the wrong way. The first year, we deal with the Bible. Oxford Fortress has said that 50% of the country, 50% of the country is functionally illiterate. That means that people may be able to read, but they fail to understand or comprehend what they read. Therefore, if 50% of the country is functionally illiterate, the rate of biblical illiteracy is extremely high. So our first goal at House of Hope is to reacquaint the students with scriptures. Now that might be a drag on some students because some students really do know their scriptures very well, but the majority of students reflect the majority of homes. And the Bible isn't used in the homes as much as it used to be. Second year, we get into catechism per se. We get into what Oxford Fortress has done with creative confirmation, and we do a lot with doctrine and teaching. The third year, then, is our year to integrate the two. The last two sessions, we've dealt with the first commandment, which has dealt with our relationship with God. Yesterday we talked about the second commandment, our relationship to God's name. Today we're going to skip. The third commandment is the relationship to the day. The fourth commandment deals with relationship to one's parents. We're going to skip to the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment, let's turn to page 15. Someone read that, please, including the explanation. Jason?
You shall not murder. We are to fear and love God, so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs.
All right, I need a female volunteer to read the part of Erica. Don't all volunteer at once. Go ahead, Laura. Why don't you stand up?
Okay. My name is Erica. I am 12 and I live with my mom, Shirley, and my dad, Eric, and my sister, Patty, who is 10. Oh yes, I almost forgot to mention my two brothers. Tom is 8 and Aaron is 6. It happened to be my mom when she was attending my brother's kindergarten conference. My dad said, Mom had the shooting pain in her head and it wouldn't go away. She drove her car home into the garage. She went upstairs and took 2 pain pills and went to bed. When my dad came home from work, he found her in bed and he couldn't wake her up. He called the ambulance and they took her to the hospital. Later, I was sitting up in the room when the doctor came to us and said to my dad, I'm afraid your wife has had a
cerebral hemorrhage.
That man, a blood vessel had broken in her brain. The bleeding caused mom to drift into what the doctors called a coma. We could talk to her, but she couldn't say anything or move a muscle. They also put her in a machine called a respirator. That did a breathing for her. We waited for days and we hoped she would get better. But each day it seemed to the doctors and to me that she's not gonna get better. It was also very scary. Yesterday the doctor came in to meet with all of us and said, "I'm afraid the test shows that Truly is brain dead. She will never recover. I recommend that you consider discounting the respirator and letting her die in peace." I couldn't believe it. It was like someone had hit me hard in the stomach. I couldn't catch my breath. I felt weak and dizzy all over. It seemed that I had never stopped crying. I buried my face in my dad's shoulder and hung on. That day, when our pastor came to see us, I couldn't stand it any longer and I cried out, "Pastor, she's only 40 years old. If we pull her off her respirator, she will die. Isn't that like committing murder?" The pastor answered all my questions.
No, he didn't answer my question.
Pastor didn't
answer. Key phrase.
All the pastor did was to pray this prayer. "Oh God, please guide and direct this family as they make decisions about life and death. As they do, let me know that your love for Shirley and for all of them never ends. For Jesus' sake, amen." Can we read the rest?
You read one more sentence.
Okay. I don't want my mom to die.
Okay, now we need to break into, let's see, we have a lot of people here. We need to break into groups of eight. Make sure that in your groups of eight you have some young people as well. As you break into groups of eight, appoint one group moderator and deal with the questions, please. Go ahead. It's your turn. Part of confirmation means you do the work, not me. Let's go. Okay, let's call it, let's call it time here. Question, adults, how many of you have living wills? Okay, how many of you have discussed your living wills with your relatives or the people who need to make those decisions? Okay, how many of you have shared your living wills with your pastor as well as your doctor? Oh, okay. From a pastoral perspective, one of the most difficult things that happens is that you're called into a situation just like this, only perhaps it's an elderly person, and the caretaking sibling or the caretaking son or daughter has said their goodbyes, and they're willing and ready to pull mom or dad off the machines. But the non-custodial sibling, the person that lives 200, 3,000 miles away, comes in and isn't ready to do that. Adults, make sure that everybody's clear with what you want. Youth, when I say a living will, what do I mean? Kelly.
If you go into a coma, the money that you have in your bank account, everything is passed on to the person that you lead to and is kept for them.
That's not exactly what I think we're talking about, but I think what you're talking about is some kind of a trust and some kind of a will that designates who gets the resources. We're talking, any other youth person, you know what a living will is. Go ahead, Justin.
Decides who, if you die or not, someone who decides that?
Okay, if you die or not. Living wills include something like these letters. DNR. DNR means do not resuscitate. It's especially sometimes critical for people in their 80s when people are resuscitated and they get cardiopulmonary massage. A lot of times ribs are broken. It can be a very painful experience. And some people who are older will say, "Don't bring me back." And some people who have been brought back live in nursing homes for another 5 to 10 years. Another one is DNI. DNI means do not intubate. That means that they put a tube down your throat and a respirator is attached, if I'm correct. Medical people, tell me that. Okay. What a living will says is exactly what Justin says. Don't take any heroic measures to keep me alive. When I'm done, I'm done. You, do you know anyone who has a living will? Or have your parents talked with you about what they would want in the event they would be in a coma-like state? Has anybody ever talked with that? Okay, go ahead. Andy, what have you talked about?
My parents always talk about how they, if they ever get to the point where they aren't really living and it's artificial, or they'll be in a nursing home or, you know, crippled for the rest of their life, they just want to die.
Okay, how old are your parents, Andy?
42 and 46.
Okay, I'm 46. Okay, and already they're starting to talk with their son about what might happen. Anybody else? Has anybody else had conversations about that? Andy, how do you feel about that? Do you agree with them or not?
I agree.
Okay. Anybody else had any conversations with their parents? Okay. You, if this were happening to you, say Andy's accident. Say Andy wasn't as smart a kid as he is. And say he dove head first into a shallow stream. He broke cervical 4 and cervical 5 vertebrae. He's comatose. He's lying there in a vegetative state. What would you want?
I can't answer that right now.
Okay. Good question. What makes it difficult for you to answer?
The fact that there might be some hope.
Okay. Does age mean that there's hope? Good question. Anybody want to reply to that? Say, Emily, it happened to you. What would you want?
It's hard to answer.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I buried a 17-year-old girl who was hit by a drunk driver, and on her driver's license in Minnesota, I don't know how it is in California or Washington, you have an opportunity to check whether you want to be an organ donor. Okay? She had checked that off. So as they pulled her off the plug and off the machine, her organs were donated. Has anybody else thought about that, youth? Given it any thought at all? Laura, okay? You want to be an organ donor, okay? What if you were comatose? What decision would you want your parents to make?
Well, if I had brain damage and I didn't have a normal life like I do now, I probably wouldn't want to live.
Okay.
If we're just going to be in the hospital for the rest of my life.
Okay. Okay. Justin.
I don't know. I just feel like that's something that's sort of weird. I don't think I'd want to do that. I didn't check.
Okay. You wouldn't want to be pulled off.
No.
Okay. Jeremy, what about you? Have you given it any thought?
I wouldn't want to be pulled off.
How come? Tell us.
I want to live. Right.
You want to live. Okay. You. Have you ever known anybody who has been critically injured in an accident? Laura?
My friend.
Please listen. Go ahead.
My friend Beth, when I was younger, got in a head-on collision with a semi-truck, and her brother and her died.
Okay, so they died, okay? Any other youth? Have you known anybody else to which that's happened? Now, obviously, there isn't any easy answer. Is it murder? And notice the new translation. The new translation of the fifth commandment does not say thou shalt not kill. It says you shall not murder. It's been translated by a man named Tim Wenger, who went back to the German and is in the contemporary English version of Luther's Small Catechism. Now, is it murder? Probably not. If we were talking about Jack Kevorkian, now Jack I listened to Dr. C. Edward Koop, who is the former Surgeon General of the United States. He is convinced that Kevorkian should be tried for murder, locked up, and put away. He's that convinced that what Kevorkian is doing is wrong. Now, what Kevorkian is doing is different than this. This is what Kevorkian is doing is actively assisting people to end their own life. There comes a time when someone is on a respirator when the doctors will come to the family and say, we got to wean him or her. Jan, you want to share your experience? Can you?
Yeah, I can. This was my sister-in-law. She was 26 years old, and she had cerebral hemorrhage, and they rushed her to the hospital, and they had to put her on all machines, the respirator and everything. And she was on it for 3 days, and there was no change. And finally, the doctor came and said to my younger brother, we have to make a decision here. We see that she is brain dead, and the machines are keeping her going. Her sisters had come in from Cleveland, so there was myself and her sisters and my brother and my young brother. And he said, please give us about 10 hours. So he went back home and went in his room and just spent the day praying. And I can't remember this verse, but I think it was Isaiah 40 that we found. And it kind of said that the good shepherd takes his own and their young and carries them in his bosom. And that was kind of like to us that she belonged to the Lord and that the children would be taken care of. There was one younger son that they had. So we came back together, and my brother made us go all around in the circle, and each one of us say if we could let her go. And we were all able to say that we could see that she was brain dead, and it would only be the machines artificially keeping her going. So we were able to have a consensus, and we all went in and said our goodbyes, and then she, as soon as they took her off of everything, she died. And that, then my brother died of bone cancer, the young husband, 5 months later. And so the young son, who was 10 then, who was my nephew, became my youngest son. So that's kind of how that
happened. Oh, boy. So, yeah, again, the fact that Andy has been able to talk about it with his parents is really valuable, as difficult as that is. Okay. Now, again, life is a gift. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Now we're going to get you up and walking in a little bit, and we have three agree-disagree questions. You ready to stand up? Okay. I believe that handgun control should be enacted in the United States. Agree? Disagree? I agree that handgun control should be enacted. I disagree that handgun control. Handgun control means that no American citizen should be able to carry a handgun other than police or private investigators. Other than police or private investigators. I agree that it should be controlled. Nobody else besides police and private investigators. I disagree. Hey, remember, folks, you shall not murder. Let's hear it. Kelly, why do you disagree?
I used to hunt with my uncle and my family. We shoot deer. I mean, so we own guns.
Okay, I'm saying handguns.
Well, but still, you can use semi-like rifles and everything as a handgun. Some of them saw it off.
You can saw it off. Most crimes are committed by .38 specials. Okay? Guns that can be bought off the street. There are some. I mean, Bank at New Hope was robbed a year ago. We're close to a freeway. Somebody came in with a sawed-off shotgun and stood everybody against
the wall. No .38 special, right?
No .38 special. Dietrich, you're against gun control. Why?
Why? Because that's would be a fiasco like what was it when they cut off the liquor?
Prohibition.
Prohibition.
Okay.
It's not control. First of all, it's not controllable.
Okay.
The guy that wants to commit a crime with a gun is going to find a gun. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't a 38 special, it's like what you just said is thought of.
Shotgun. Okay.
I want to be able to protect my family.
Okay.
With a gun.
Okay.
If need be.
Okay.
Leslie.
I think rather than just, I don't like your flat out rule is all.
Well, that's fine. That's why. That's fine. That's why we're discussing it.
I turned around when the 100% rule came out.
You turned around. I'll say more about that.
I was headed to that side of the room, and then you said, "Total, no handguns allowed in the United States for anybody." And I turned around and came over.
All right. Okay. Let's go to Stuart, who is the other half of this. Husband, wife. Let's hear it.
That's why you picked on me.
Go ahead.
I lived in England for 5 years when I was in the Air Force. Even the police didn't carry guns. It worked very, very well.
England.
It worked very well.
Okay. Brian, how come you are in favor?
May I interject?
I don't know.
Do they not carry guns today because they cannot protect themselves anymore?
Some do.
Thank you.
Okay. DK, right?
And is this England? No.
Okay. All right. Brian, okay. All right. Brian, you're for it. Why? You're for handgun control.
Well, I think that people with license should carry guns to protect themselves. But it's also that the control should be so no one on the streets can get killed or anybody.
Okay. Hang on. We have people in the middle. Laura.
Well, I'm in the middle because, like Dietrich said, my parents agree. If they have a gun and somebody breaks into the house, they want to protect the family. Then on that side, there's a bunch of accidents where little children don't realize the gun's loaded and they end up shooting themselves.
Okay. Tell me your name.
Sean.
I'm trying, folks. Hang on. Okay.
Well, you say, like, if no one else could carry guns except for police officers, but if people, like, get in, like, gangs without weapons, they can just jump a police officer.
Okay.
Gun.
Okay. Next point. Just out of, you know, the right to defend. My father is 82. He lives in South Minneapolis. He has a loaded pistol in his apartment that he got off in the war from Germany. And my wife goes bananas. Now we have 6 kids, and I know where that pistol is, but he lives in a security apartment 5 floors up, and she sees no reason for him to have that gun. Okay? I'm in the middle. All right, next question. I agree in the death penalty. And again, it's 100% one way or the other. So that's, I agree in the death penalty. Agree? Disagree?
Why didn't you just
change? Because we gotta get the blood moving, Peter.
Oh, okay.
We gotta get the blood moving.
Good point. Good point.
When you sit on your posterior too long, you fall asleep. Okay. I agree in the with the death penalty. I disagree. Okay. Jason, why do you agree?
Because I mean, if a lot of people do a lot of crimes and nobody like has a death penalty or anything, then the jails would just be like filled up.
Okay, death penalty is used to get rid of people so that we have more space. Interesting. Brian.
If you kill someone without a reason, you deserve to die.
Most people kill people with a reason, but that's a good point. Kelly.
Okay, I'm like in the middle because if you kill someone, if you're gonna like kill them and the death penalty, it should be done fast. Not sitting in jail for 30, 40 years waiting on a sentence, and then you keep on feeding them and you keep on giving them money and everyone's putting their taxes into it. You know, so I think that's kind of wrong. If they like did it, okay, you're charged with like the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Like 3 days later, you were in the chair. Now that would be nice.
It would be, wouldn't it? But it isn't. Okay. Okay, let's hear Pat. Pastor Todd.
I look at that as us playing God and deciding the fate of another person, and I don't think we have the right to play God. I think that we always need to be about forgiveness and rehabilitation, and I don't think there's any person that's a lost person.
Okay. Kristen, how about you?
I agree with that, and also don't think it's a deterrent.
Okay.
So there's no reason.
All right. Okay, next one. I agree that abortion should be legal. Abortion should be illegal. And again, Leslie says, abortion should be legal.
Stay right here.
I agree. Abortion should be illegal. I mean,
is that a go, no go, 100%?
Hey, we have people in the middle here.
Yeah,
we have people in the middle. Okay, I agree that abortion should be legal. I disagree. This is extremely, always interesting to me. Yes, Laura?
Okay. See, what I think about it is, like, if I think that it shouldn't be legal, but I also think it should be legal for some people that, like, maybe, like, got raped or something, or, but, like, people that just got, like, pregnant, like, and on accident and just don't want the kid, that they,
You're doing fine. Keep going.
Hey, they should, like, they should just, you know, they got into the mess, so they should just,
bear the consequences.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason?
In a way, I believe that it should not be legal. Because some people just get rid of the kids because they don't want somebody to leave them or whatever. But I agree because some people just can't have babies. It's not medically possible for them because they'll die or they'll live in a coma or something.
Okay, thanks. Kelly, and then Laura.
Okay, depending on like the medical factor and how the baby's going to turn out, and physically, if it's mentally okay, and if it was because of rape that the person's pregnant, I think it should be that if the person just was made a mistake and they had sex and now they have like a kid coming to them, that either they take that, they have abortion, but then they have their tubes tied, or there's no other way for them to have children, including the father of the child too.
Whoa.
Unless they take care of that child.
Whoa.
Unless the kid's pregnant.
Okay. That's interesting. Laura.
Well, they have the teenager has a child. If they can't provide for that child they have lack of everything that the child needs, the baby shouldn't have to face the consequences for the mother and father's mistake.
Okay. Susan, you just moved. Oh, okay. Okay. Back there. Ma'am, what's your first name?
Pat. And I'm in the middle because I'm opposed to abortion, at least on demand, but I do not feel that it can be successfully legislated.
All right. Okay. That's okay. John?
Murder.
It's murder. Okay. All right, get back into your small groups, please. And I need a male volunteer.
I'm right here.
Right here.
Go ahead. I'm going to read it. What's wrong with me? Page 16. Okay, what's wrong with me? Page 16. Our reader is Jason. Yes. Okay, please listen.
My name is Rick. I'm 13 years old, and I just started a new school this year because my parents moved to a different town. I really hate it here. Each day at school, I sit in front of the big, strong kid in science class, and whenever the teacher isn't looking, he hits me in the back. Then he calls me names. He says to me, if I tell my teacher, he for sure will find me after school and beat me up. I really feel like I want to die. I hate my school, I hate him, and I hate myself. It's gotten so bad that I feel like I'm the person that everybody likes to make fun of. What bothers me is I don't know what I've done wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me.
just because I don't like sports and I don't listen to the same kind of music the other kids listen to. They think that I'm weird, and because I've had a problem with severe asthma and really am not that strong, they think I'm a freak. I miss my old town, my old school, and my old friends. Since I've moved here, I felt like kids have been killing me piece by piece and inch by inch. If that's what they want to do, they could do it much better with a gun.
All right, get in your small groups, discuss the questions. Okay? Get in your small groups, discuss the questions.
Let's go.
Let's go. Make sure everybody talks, please. Try to make sure everybody talks. Okay, let's break in a little bit here. Youth, how many of you know people like Rick at your school?
Yeah.
Okay, can you talk about it? Sean.
His name was Russell, and I was in third grade, and he, everyone picked on him because every minute he had a chance, he'd be picking his nose.
Okay, and what happened? What happened to change that situation?
He left the school.
He left the school. Okay. What about this group? Anybody know people like Laura? Okay. And what happens in that situation?
Well, there's one in my class last year. He didn't get good grades. He'd get F's because while other kids were doing their work, he would try and talk to them. They'd tell him to shut up because then they couldn't concentrate on their work. And then the teacher would end up yelling at him and he just felt rejected, and a lot of kids liked him.
Okay. Anybody else know people like that? Jason?
I know about like 15 others, and we all just hang out at school, because I'm one of them. Everybody just doesn't like hanging around me at school. I don't know.
Okay, so you're one of them.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
I really don't like trying to concentrate on that. I try and concentrate on my friends and my schoolwork and things like that.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. What about over here? Laurel, you said you knew somebody or not? Laura.
I've known a few people.
Okay.
But they're not my friends.
Okay. What can we do to change that? Or why do people pick on other people? What makes people pick on other people? Jason?
Because they're strange and different and they can't understand those people. So they try to discard them and try to secure them in another place so that they don't have to look at them. It's like an imperfect society where people just want all the freaks and all the other people just to stand aside on some remote place and let the rest of society be normal. And it's just
so what I heard you say is people's insecurity about differences causes them to isolate themselves from one another. That's very good. What else makes people pick on each other? Go ahead.
I think it's personal insecurity.
Is that Albert?
It's Albert, right? Yeah. Personal insecurity, not necessarily in relation to somebody else, but the person is so insecure that they've got to have a pecking order, somebody to be better than in order to elevate themselves.
Okay, that's good. Dietrich?
I think in schools it also could be peer pressure.
Okay.
You have one guy, you know.
Okay, that's good. Justin?
I think a lot of kids laugh about what he just said, but I think it's totally true. I mean, if you actually think about it, I don't think kids actually just go around saying, oh, you know, I just want to go pick on someone for the fun of it. I think they actually think that without picking on someone else, someone's going to pick on them. So they might as well raise themselves to some sort of level. But
okay. I'm going to be the picker rather than the picky. Okay, I'm going to be the active person rather than get the passive. Go ahead.
Well,
tell me your first name.
Dale. And in some instances, the person can be a threat to the other person, and they want to nip that in the bud because they want to still remain king, and they do not want to give up that position.
Okay, there's turf issues involved. Okay, what can we do about that? What can we as Christians do about that? First of all, have you ever considered that as murder? I bet you haven't. Okay? If anything today, think about that. Okay? I want to read From Genesis, Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go for a walk." And when they were out in the field, Cain killed him. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is Abel?" "How should I know?" he answered. "Am I supposed to look after my brother or sister?" The question is, the answer to that question is what?
Yes.
Okay. A preview of tomorrow. There is tomorrow here. Tomorrow at 10:30. The sixth commandment, we will deal with the choice of abstinence. We'll deal with the effect of divorce as it relates to youth's perception of marriage. And we will deal with who your ideal mate should be. Okay? We close with together the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Those of you who have books, please share them with Jeremy. Find someone to.
Here's a book.
Jeremy, you've got a book right behind you.
Okay.
We're on page 17. On page 17, let's close together by saying, "Lord, make us instruments of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen." Please leave these, those of you who came, so we can have them tomorrow. Thank you, and come again, please.